Okay, children, children, children. This morning, we're going to talk about being ready for things that might happen in the future. And I'll give you an example. So Easter. I know it's funny to be talking about Easter right now, but it's great to look forward to when you get things like chocolate eggs. When the summer holidays are coming to an end, people get ready for that too. So what sort of things, mothers, fathers and children, do you do at the end of the summer holidays to get ready for the next term? So who's going to start me off? School uniforms, of course, that's the perennial, isn't it? What other things might you need to get ready for school? Oh, don't go silent on me, come on. Pencil case, that's right, sharpening your pencils. What about new notepads? Emptying out, a new... How old are you? What about digging out the school bag and finding all the letters from last term? Yes. So, and I was waiting for somebody to say they're going to celebrate because the summer holidays are over, but nobody did. Okay. I want to play a little game with you, and it's following along those lines. So I'm going to show you some things, and I want people to tell me what they think I'm getting ready for. I'll try not to fall down. Just a minute. One thing here, another thing here. Ooh. So, what am I getting ready for? Holiday. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? What sort of things do we need to do to get ready for a holiday, apart from the bag and the flip-flops? Dresses. Summer dresses. Well done, Anne. What other things? Sun cream. So you wear a swimming costume. All right, what else? The what? Absolutely, passport. Passport, very important. Hat, yep. Well, I think you've got that covered. Let's see what else we can find. What else is in my bag? Kitchen sink. Well, no, somebody said, what's this here for? And I said, it's if I do a really bad service, I can leg it super quick. Okay, so what's this? First aid kit. And what am I getting ready for? Huh? Yeah, okay, yeah. So what am I getting ready for by having a first aid kit? Accidents. Yeah, accidents and... Illnesses, accidents and illnesses. And of course, it's really important that we know how to do first aid, because if we don't and something happens and you don't know what to do, you're really stuck, aren't you? And somebody could suffer because we don't know what to do. So we prepare for things like this by learning about first aid. And there are people here who will have been trained in first aid. Right, one more thing. So, what is that? What is that? Can't hear you. The Christmas tree, but what is it? Advent calendar. You've no idea how hard it was to get one of those for this. And what other things do we do to get ready for Christmas? Save money. You're good. Yes, people tend to get in a frenzy of baking, don't they? Make cakes. What else do we do to get ready for Christmas? Buy more food than we could eat, correct. And we buy presents for people. Yep, write cards. Decorate. Panic. Yes, there's a fair amount of that that goes on in my house. So we all get ready for Christmas, but obviously the most important thing about that is getting ready for the arrival of the baby Jesus. And every year we practice for that, don't we? We practice for that. And what better could there be than the arrival of a baby? Other things are for tragedy, and that is for the best news. I've got someone I want you to meet. So just hang on a minute. I'll be back in a minute. Here you come. Come on in. There's no fire. Don't panic. Do you want to come up here, Jamie? Oh. So I'm going to give you a mic of your own.
Thanks.
Not that I can ever turn this thing on. So, this is Jamie.
Morning.
And he's come especially from Haverhill Fire and Rescue this morning to talk to us about getting ready, being ready for things. So, very grateful for you coming, and I hope you're not too hot.
No, not yet.
Not yet? You wait till I've finished asking you questions. I'm sure you must have masses of things that you have to learn in your basic training before you're allowed out to do anything. What sort of things do you do?
Well, initially, you do a 6 weeks basic on your allocated station that you're at. Then after you've done your 6 weeks there, you'll do a two-week residential.
Okay.
Which is at our training base in Wattisham. So once you've completed and passed all that, you'll come back to your respective station, but you can only ride one position on the truck until you've done further training.
All right. So it's quite extensive,
very,
isn't it?
Very, very, even now.
Well, that's what I was going on to ask you. So when you've done your basic training, you're obviously still quite junior.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? I know you rehearse every week.
Thursday nights.
Thursday nights. So don't ask for a fire to come out, a fire engine to come out, because they won't be there, they'll be rehearsing.
I know, we're still on call.
You're still on call. So what sort of things? Tell us about what you do on Thursday evening.
Well, we have a quarterly planner that we go through, which is set by the brigade itself.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do different risk critical training.
Different what?
Risk critical, like your breathing apparatus and your RTC stuff.
You have to explain a little bit what RTC is.
Road traffic collisions. So dealing with the cars and stuff like that, cutting equipment. We have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is certain weeks where we can do our own initial training. So for the newbies that are coming through, we can set stuff up for them.
Right. That's fantastic. So one more question I have for you. If you get a 999 call for a fire, what sort of preparations do you make before you go into a burning building?
Well, I'm one of the crew managers at the station. So initially, I need to prepare my crew on the way because we get a tip sheet at the station where we're going and what we've got. So I would initially do a 360 round whatever's on fire just to make sure I can see the whole scenario. And then I prepare my crews if they need to go in. Hopefully there's nobody in there. If there is, then I need to deploy breathing apparatus, which is obviously on your face. So main priority is savable life, then savable property.
Okay. So I think you'd agree that preparation is absolutely 100%, everything.
100%.
Without it, you're really in trouble.
Safety is paramount.
Safety is paramount. And knowing what to do is paramount
by
preparation.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming, Jamie. Jamie is going to stay through the service, and if anybody wants to chat afterwards, he'll be up there for coffee.
Thank you very much.
Shall I take that off you?
Yeah, sure. Cheers.
And if you'd like to go with Jacqueline, she'll help you whatever. And do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Well, how beautiful is that, to refer to us as his little flock. How gentle and reassuring to be told that God is going to give us the kingdom. A life of abundance and joy, freedom from all pain and all sadness. I need to hear that, because sometimes I am afraid. I am afraid of my dependence on earthly comforts. Now, if my heart is where my treasure is, I worry that my heart can be found escaping to the comfort of my little home where I can manage my life. I'm not a person who needs things, but I do worry a lot about money. Will I have enough to last the month? Especially if there is a sudden and unexpected expense, like a repair bill. What would happen if my car needed repair or a new boiler was needed? I worry that I am the woman who puts her own needs first when that is not what I must do. If the kingdom is coming at any time, I worry that I won't be prepared for it. Yet here Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." We aren't called lions or giants or warriors, but the weakest of herd animals who need protection and a good shepherd. Well, our shepherd is God Almighty, who never fails to protect us. And he will always provide for us, provided, of course, we are his constant disciples and stay under his guidance. So what must I do to prepare for the arrival of God in all his glory? In our gospel reading this morning from Luke, Jesus tells us to sell our possessions and give to the poor. It's a very simple command, but fraught with challenges. Was he really saying to give everything away that you own and rely on others to help you with stuff? No, not on this occasion he was not. The meaning is more to do with selfishness than self-imposed destitution. It is more about sharing what wealth we may have. Money, possessions, family and comfort are all good gifts from God. But consider that Martha and Mary lived in a house but shared their hospitality. Consider also in the book of Acts, over and over and over again, we hear of Christians who opened their doors to the apostles and the poor and the needy. They were never castigated for not giving everything away when they provided others with generous hospitality. It's generously giving our wealth, whatever that might be, that we are asked to do. I'm definitely not intending to make anyone feel guilty about their personal wealth, whether that be in terms of earthly treasures or emotional well-being, far from it. I want us all to dream dreams and dream amazing dreams about the coming of the kingdom of God. Dreams so beautiful that we refuse to lay our anchor in material wealth, which ultimately is worth nothing at all. Where our treasure is, so our heart is also. There is a story told of a deacon in Rome who was commanded by the Roman authorities to gather up all the church treasures and hand them over to the Roman authorities. So he did. But rather than collect the silver and the gold, he gathered up the poor of the city and he said, "These are the treasures of the earth. This is where our treasure is." In that same gospel reading, Jesus exhorts us to be ready for service and keep our lamps burning. He said to keep our wits about us, for we cannot know when the Lord will come. Keep alert and ready. Gird our loins in readiness. Well, in those times, men and women wore very similar clothing, sort of for a baggy, you know, baggy stuff. And it was fairly loose stuff. So if they needed to do something in the way of physical work or they needed to run, then they would literally gather up these ropes and tuck them into their makeshift belt, and then they were free. And that's what is meant by girding your loins. For me, girding my loins is more about getting my head in the right place. Too frequently, my mind is cluttered and overstretched, trying to manage the complexities of modern life. We all multitask. It's no longer considered just a thing that women do. We all do it. Juggling jobs, children, home, finances, and for some, the constant lure of social media. To me, being ready involves decluttering my mind, making space for the important things that include times of quiet, when I can be with my Heavenly Father and learn more and feel more of his love. Jesus goes on to say that he will come to serve. He will come ready to serve us all that is good and beautiful. Well, what confusion that must have caused those disciples who heard this for the first time. It would have been unimaginable then, and is almost incredulous now. No other God makes such a promise, and we must take it at face value. We have an awesome God who not only came in glory, but will treat us like royalty. Our real treasure, where our hearts are called to be, is with the poor. The ugly, the lonely, the uneducated, the criminal, the addict, the sick, and the destitute. We are called by God to love them all, and by doing so, we are loving him. In this way, we are preparing ourselves for the coming of the kingdom of God, sharing what we have and not claiming it as our exclusive property. We will begin to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is already in heaven. It shows us how God wants us to be in life, humble, alert to the future, and alert to the needs of others. Our servant king. Preparation can take a lifetime to become an eternal citizen. And of course, we never know when that kingdom will come. My prayer for me and for others here is that God will save me from making my money, my home, my family, or my personal need to be alone. I like being alone. I don't want them to become an idol. I want to have both my hands free to grasp the promise of what God is offering us. The promise of a coming kingdom. A kingdom where everyone will have a seat at the banquet with no one left out in the cold. Let us learn to hang on to our material possessions very lightly and instead hold firmly to this eternal and glorious promise. To end, I would like to paraphrase a quote from a St. Basil, who was a great church father in the 4th century. It is a challenge that it concerns me, it troubles me, because what I'm going to share to you rings a lot of personal bells. And I read what is said. You, with a second coat in your wardrobe. It does not belong to you. You have stolen it from the poor man who is shivering in the cold. Now, it troubles me because I have more than one spare coat. I have several. And so it troubles me because this is true. And what concerns me more is that St. Basil is not a lone voice. John the Baptist calls us to think in the same radical way. He said, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Well, why? Because our property is not ours to hang on to. We are all servants in the house waiting for our master to return. Amen.